So, Townsman, let's just start talking about Ribix's Stardate 20X6. What were the high and low points? Think about that. Where to start?
Ribix's Stardate is kind of a map set that I have mixed feelings on. I think it had a lot of potential. I don't think it lived up to that potential, particularly in the visual category of what it was attempting to do with the highlights of purple and what most of the time just ended up being the browning. But on the whole, I think that, you know, minus the slaughtery gameplay that I'm not a fan of that mainly dominated the last couple of maps, I liked it.
Yeah, for sure. I think our opinion differs a little bit on the visuals. I mean, I certainly agree with you very strongly on the point to say that it was, wasn't realized perhaps as best as it could be. I mean, the selling point of it was that basically that it was purple. We lovingly called the Hell Knights Ribena Knights, when we started. Because they threw Ribena bolts, which was quite painful. But, yeah, it was mostly a brown affair. You don't really mind the texture set, I recall you saying. I thought it was actually overly saturated and sort of pixelated and grainy in that sort of community chess foreway that wasn't to my liking. But I also recognise that it's style that many prefer, so I can't really criticise it for that, just a personal preference. But certainly, yeah, I think it could have been more stylized visually. Could have popped more. And perhaps if that were the case, and aside from just looking generally better, I would have been tempted to liken it more to Sunder in that regard, because it did have that sort of that abstract approach to it. None of it really felt like a place.
It did, and I like that. There were some nice architectural designs, particularly on the final map with those big towers. But also at the same time, I did not like at all that like clash between the really grungy and the grungy browns, and then you would have like this like clean techie silver, and it was like it just looked weird. I didn't like that at all, and I probably would have liked it more if there was like some change up. Like everything was based around purple as the main theme, and then everything else was kind of secondary. With with how it is now, it's almost as if like the purple is the secondary theme, and the like grungy brown is the primary. And I think that that should have been reversed. I think there's a lot more room to do some interesting stuff with the purple than there is just, you know, the grunge.
I think actually the lighting probably could have been improved to work better with the purple as well. I understand Jimmy, just as an experiment, decided to make all the purple, change the palette such that it was full bright.
Oh, yes, yes. And I think
that popped a heck of a lot more. And again, it's another point in favor of being looking a lot better had it been stylized a lot more and sort of had the confidence to go the distance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, I agree.
But by that time, apparently, it was uploaded to Widgames, so alas and alack, they won't be included. Now, as far as Slaughter gameplay goes, because I understand that you're not a big fan, neither am I, incidentally. Did this map set appear? How did that relate to you? Was it better than most?
Better than most, I'd say. I mean, it still had, particularly the last couple of maps, got really draggy. But there was enough like interesting stuff going on in the first couple of maps. Like you had that one thing in map 3 that was like the dodge the Cyber Demon rockets and get them to hit the Revenants on the other's end. That was like Frogger 2.0. I thought that was pretty cool. Stuff like that is, you know, where I really think that it succeeded. But again, the last couple of maps just became this gigantic slog that really brought the whole experience down, in my opinion.
And you think some of the ideas probably reused a little too often? Because I recall encountering things like that that map 3 moment that you mentioned and thinking that's really interesting. And then there were other very similar, not quite executed in the same way, sort of infighting concepts used later on that sort of made me think, yes, it's interesting, but I've done this before. And at the same time, it drags on for far too long, and you know this is now the fifth or sixth map that we're into, and it's feeling all kind of samey. Do you think that's something particular to the map, or that's just Slaughter gameplay straight up?
I think that's Slaughter gameplay, but it's also kind of particular to the map set. I think, on the whole, though, the gameplay definitely was superior to what I mostly come across most Slaughter maps, in that it didn't bog you down, and when, like, you got just absolutely swarmed with a billion monsters, it, like, felt kind of like a set PC arena that was, you know, interspersed with normal, like, gameplay, at least until the last couple of maps where it just became just oversaturation of the max. But I would say that the gameplay on itself, like, did kind of get monotonous in how the scenarios were set up. Not just, like, we're going to do that Frogger thing again, but, like, it kind of felt like you'd have a big monster in the middle, and then you'd have a bunch of monsters attacking you from the sides, and there were just, like, multiple rooms that were set up, like, in that exact same manner, to where that's where I think it really got monotonous.
Mm-hmm. We touched on briefly when we were talking about the visuals there, of how we feel that stylistically it wasn't as courageous or adventurous as it could be in executing that style, and I guess that sort of extends to the gameplay as well. There are certain moments, particularly in the Magnus, I think it's called, the last map, which I got horrendously lost in, by the way, and thankfully managed to delete that 20-minute meandering about the map pointlessly. We were wanting to get outside and sort of have some of the combat play around those two magnificent-looking architectural structures outside, but it was all sort of stuffed into the interiors. So I don't think there was enough diversities there. You know, fighting in some more interesting environments, coupled with the unique sort of stylistic approach, would have been more interesting, I find. So again, it's another case of sort of missed opportunity, I think, from that sense.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. And yeah. I think that, but on the whole, I think that Stardate succeeded more than it failed. I just think that it's one of those things that if it had been more willing to take more risks and kind of be abstract in a way that we don't see a lot of the time in Doom, I think mm-hmm. that's where it had more opportunities to be better that I feel it just didn't realize.
Mm-hmm. It definitely stands out in my mind. It's a very unique map set despite its failings, and yeah. I would certainly agree in saying that the positives do outweigh the negatives, and more to the point, I think it's a good direction to take and a good mindset to have as a mapper when you're approaching something like a Slaughterfest map set. To me, it's almost like an abstract sort of approach to design that benefits Slaughter gameplay much more than trying to create a sort of realistic environment, although perhaps there haven't been enough examples of the latter for me to be really convinced that that's the case. I mean, Sunder to me just stands out as a sort of ideal Slaughter map set.
I think Sunder... Sunder's kind of its own thing. I mean, I don't know... You've obviously never played Sunder in its whole, but playability, honestly, I think Sunder stands more out as like an architectural marvel and like okay. that, because there's a lot of just totally unplayable maps in Sunder, like Precarious.
Okay. So, I mean, the case of the Sunder is that the author, Insane Gazebo, just wanted to say, okay, I want to make grand architecture, but it wouldn't make sense to have, you know, itty-bitty gameplay encounters in here, so I simply have to pack it full of monsters.
Probably.
It's almost like that was to accommodate the sort of architectural...
We can talk more about Sunder when Sunder actually comes out. But, yeah, I would say that, honestly...
I think that'll happen, incidentally.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen. I think, honestly, that Stardate kind of succeeds in terms of being, a grand Slaughter map set more than mm-hmm. Sunder does. Just in terms okay. of, like, complete package.
You definitely set the two aside, though.
I would kind of, yeah, set the two aside. I believe when we first started playing Stardate, we were on, like, map one, and I said, this is kind of Sunderous. Just not, like, in the Sunderous, like, oh my god, there's so many sectors, it's lagging my computer, but Sunderous in the way that things are just detailed by a sector being inside of another sector for no reason other than because it looks cool. Like, there's, like, zero effort given to try and make it look like anything other than an arcade-style arena. And I know, like, there are some people who absolutely hate that, but I really do enjoy when a map set acknowledges that it's just going to be kind of goofy and wacky, and it's designed to look unique and pop, and less like, okay, this is a tech base, or okay, I mean... What the fuck was anything in Stardate? It was a brown-purple thing surrounded by stars.
That's awesome.
That's all it needed to be.
But perhaps not awesome enough. Anyway, the music for it was actually pretty good, and I recall the first time I heard about Revix is when he uploaded some of his own tracks and on a blog of his, I think, or maybe it was in general or what have you, which is quite experimental and unique sounding, and I really like the tracks, and the case is the same here. I really like the ones he's used for the most part, with a couple of exceptions, like in, I think it was map 5, which is very peculiar. Hmm. But yeah, the track
thing
is okay.
The music.
And the secret bonus points for map 31, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, music in Doom, while extremely important, is like cinematography in film. When it's done really, really well, you notice it, and when it's done yep. really poorly, you notice it. But when it's just done, like, good, it's like, okay, that existed. And that's how good I feel about the music. I mean, it all fit. Nothing stuck out to me as, you know, like, what the fuck am I listening to? But at the same time, nothing really stuck out to me as, like, this is the best song ever. Oh, my God. This is awesome. And it all kind of blended together after a while in, like, the same way that the maps did. I mean, like the maps, there were some high points and there were some low points. But I think that it was overall good. And while not, you know, phenomenally amazing, definitely did its job. And, you know, good. That's really.
I mean, I guess if the music sort of blends together and complements the map, so it's,
yeah.
If you're using that in a sort of negative sense, then because it doesn't matter for something that's like only six maps in length. I know you're saying it's more than just merely accommodating.
No, I wouldn't say that it's a negative so much as like it's it does its job as backing, like like, you know, there's nothing wrong with a backing score. Or, you know, just, like, individual components that you're not really supposed to notice. I mean, when they're done really well, that's cool and all, but I don't think they need to be. Like, if they're just competent, wouldn't consider that a negative at all.
Title music's pretty cool, though, is the title music. You were actually off to get yourself, like, a Coke float or something from the fridge, got lost in it, and I was quite happy to just sit down and listen and munch on some salty pretzels in the meantime. That's the end of that. Well, in the interest of keeping Wes of the Dead episodes to, for a nice and concise length, something approximating half an hour, which is looking increasingly impossible, seeing that we have monochrome coming up. We'll be cutting this one off here, this item, and giving it its scores. Gameplay, I've given it an E-flat with an added ninth, and an augmented fifth. The visuals, a C-sharp with an added six, which sort of sounds unresolved, like it could have done more with it. It's a good sounding chord, but, you know, could have taken in the extra distance. Concept very similar, same chord, but with an augmented fifth. And the music, a G minor, with a flat fifth, an augmented fifth, and a suspended fourth. Gee, where does he get these chords from? Okay, Monochrome Mapping Project, 23 maps in length. Where do we start, Townsend?
I think that a blanket statement that can sum up every single aspect of Monochrome Mapping Project is 10% gold, 90% total shit.
Yeah, that's a terrible ratio.
That is a terrible ratio, and it's very unfortunate, but that's how I feel about it. I think Monochrome Mapping Project is the very definition of failed concept. And I would say that it's 90% shit solely because it fails that concept. I mean, I always want to see the concept succeed, but it's 90% shit because 90% of the maps are just bad maps, regardless of the colors used. Like,
right.
They just don't play well. They're very boxy, hallway-y. I mean, just not enough was done to focus on making good maps that people are like, oh, well, I'm only going to use two textures. I better, you know, make this just this shitty hallway map. That'll work, guys, right? And I think it's more annoying to me in Monochrome's case, because Monochrome was supposed to be the project where it's like, we're going to take away, you know, color, and you're going to have to focus solely on layout and design, you know, all the stuff that, you know, the fundamentals of map design, but they were just totally ignored. Instead, it just seemed like an excuse to be as lazily accommodating to the concept as possible.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's probably very helpful at this point to pin down exactly what the goal was. There's more than just, I mean, there's a point to just more than simply being monochrome. It was in order to, if I recall correctly, I initially just speculated that it was the case, and I double checked, and apparently it was that by focusing on monochrome and removing textures and the like, you would focus on the other important elements of map design in order to make a better map, or highlight the best of the other aspects of map design in lighting and architecture and the like. And yeah, as you say, those things weren't focused on. It's almost as though that completely disregarded in the minds of many mappers, 90% perhaps, across the board. I'm thinking, I will name names here, like maps by Jaws in Space, the like, were probably prime examples of this. Some of the better ones I thought were by Membrane, although it would have been nicer, I think, if he could depart a little more often from the newspaper style quality,
yeah,
black and white, that was used across, I think, four of his maps, and also from, I think, one of Frank Frag's maps, and another by Schwerpunk, I think that's correct. They also use the same thing. I know. I think I'm probably alone in thinking that it would have been nicer to have different sort of colors mixed up.
I agree that as long as it stuck to you're entitled to that color and black, I think that would have been fine.
Mm-hmm. There was one part of map 18 where you drop into the, although I didn't actually get through it on the stream through because I got lost again, but you drop into the one
yeah,
bit of
and
your selection,
you select
and it goes
color,
suddenly
yeah,
to stark black and blue, black and yellow.
Yeah, and that's
fantastic.
Really cool.
I'm wondering why isn't there more of this? I know, strictly speaking, Monochrome is about black and white. But technically speaking, when I get really persnickety about it, then you can do anything you like. And I was waiting for the Bumblebee Farm or something.
Or the candy cane.
The candy cane. Damn, that's a good idea. It is.
I'll make it. Anyways, but no, I agree fully and emphatically with that point. And more importantly, though, is just the fact that, yeah, like with 1024 maps, as Essel's often lamented, and I agree with him, that a lot of maps, just instead of doing something interesting with the space, like, cram everything into it and, like, well, I'm going to make a map, but it can only be 1024, so I'm just going to make it tight and small, and I'm going to cram a bunch of stuff into it. Kaika's map in, what was that?
It's almost as though they're taking the concept as a hindrance to making the map that they would otherwise make.
Yes, and...
Like, okay, they have an idea for a map, and then the concept comes along, and they go, but I kind of still want to make the map, so I'm just going to cram everything into the 1024 sector. And then here with Monochrome,
it's
the same idea. Yeah, I'll make the map I want to make, except I can only use one or two textures, so, oh well, I'll make that happen. And incidentally, it's a sort of small point aside, but many of the maps weren't actually Monochrome anyway, at least in my opinion, because of the texture selection sort of being textureful and having multiple sort of shades inside of one or the other, so you actually ended up with something that was not Monochrome, but bichrome, is that a word?
Bichrome. Jaws and Space maps were especially guilty of this. They were very...
Support center.
Yeah. So,
caramelized cake all over the wall.
Support center, which, funnily enough, is actually just a ripped-off Tom Hall Alpha map that wasn't ever included
in the game. Yeah, that's a good point.
But no... I think that that's definitely the case, is that many people just tried to be as lazily accommodating as possible instead of doing interesting and new things. I mean, there is a lot that works in black and white that doesn't work in color. For example, the best maps in the set, like map one, would have been totally different if it was not monochrome. That was definitely something that used the style well, I thought. Map 5 is a prime example. The Doom furniture in Map 5 worked precisely because it was untextured, because you could work purely with the shape.
So that's an example of a map that were textured, it would have been a worse map, and so it's, the project all succeeds. Okay.
The project succeeds there. I mean, I'm sure that if you had changed up some of the detailing in that map and textured it, it would have been just as fun to play, but there were certain things that worked really well because the map was monochrome, and that map focused on good layout, good shapes, good design, good lighting, and all the things that, you know, make a good map, to where it was a map that was a good map first and foremost, and then it used the concept to enhance it beyond there.
Sure. Of course, there was the Map 18, Death Egg's map, I think Map 21, 22.
Yeah, Map 18 and Map 21. Map 21, especially that whole comic stylized thing that it had going on for it, was a prime example of a map that worked specifically because it was monochrome. Action Doom works, but I think just because it was monochrome, it worked so much more. And again, it's a map that it was playable before the style came in. And that's the key part that a lot of maps I feel didn't nail down, is making sure the map fundamentals were good before you got to the making it interesting in the lack of color sense.
Just to come back, I guess, because I was going to move on to the positives of the maps, that after mentioning this particular point, extrapolating a little more on how the maps failed with regards to the project goal, and sort of them being a hindrance, not really focusing on the other aspects of design. There were a lot of instances where he came across a door that would have the word door printed beneath it, or button, or switch. And a couple of times it was whimsical and kind of funny, like this button opens a door elsewhere. What was that thing in Map 5? It said...
Oh, yeah, opens elsewhere and then elsewhere.
The corresponding button was elsewhere, Well.
Which I like that. I thought that was cute.
Oh, that was cute, yeah. But again, I mean, if you wanted to do the concept right, I imagine you have to use architecture and lighting to show that it was a door without writing the words door underneath it. Because that's just copying
a lot of the maps that had that kind of shit in them. Like, they'd say door, and then they wouldn't repeat it for every door, but, like, they didn't even need to say it the first time, because, like, the architecture already highlighted what it was to the point where, like, if you just saw that with nothing underneath it, you'd intrinsically go up to it and press it, because you're just like, that kind of looks like something I can press on. It's like, there's a lot of secrets where, like, it's just, like, a random wall, and you press on it and find the secret, and you're like, well, how the fuck do I know to press that? Because it's like, I don't know, playing Doom, you're kind of hardwired to do certain things when presented with certain, like, visual cues, and I think that negates the need to write switch, door, button, elevator, shit like that.
Now, it's my understanding that, I mean, because when we did the stream throw, there were, I didn't have GL deaths on, and so there was a map 2, for example, was called Temple of Light, and it was strange to me that there was basically no lighting variation at all on the entire map. Then, of course, yeah, GL Deaths was where that was provided from, and I understand that you went back and played that. Was that map improved as a result?
No, not at all, because it was still...
I was setting you up for that.
No. Again, the fundamentals of the map had failed before we even got to the lack of lighting and shit like that. I mean, it visually was not an interesting map. It was, you know...
Do you think dynamic lighting is an interesting concept to work with for the project, though?
No, not really, because I think the monochrome works best in simplicity and working purely mostly based on, like, structural detailing more so than anything else. And so I think that, you know, dynamic lighting, while it could be cool, is kind of, like, not really where you're going to get the most bang for your buck.
Let's talk a little bit more about, I think we touched on it earlier, the different ways in which the maps were successful. Because we talk about membranes map, and you could easily set that aside from something like Death Eggs, sort of.
Oh yeah. Maps like Map 1 and Death Eggs map, I think, succeeded more in a stylized approach. They were very stylistic and cool and sleek, and that's where I think they really succeeded. Whereas I think membranes maps and like Map 5 succeeded more on like the core aspects of gameplay, layout and structure and all that. And like I think that Death Eggs map and Map 18 and all that are maps that I think would be a bit worse if they weren't monochrome, whereas I think that you could still make membranes maps and Obsidian, is it Obsidian who did Map 5? Whoever made Map 5, those maps, I think, could work outside of the monochrome a lot more than, like, Map 21 or Map 1 could, for example.
Right, yeah, I think membranes maps and Map 5, and even a couple of, like, I mean, Frank Frag, I think, is his last mission, the one that wasn't the arena, which said die.
Frank Frag made maps for that?
I think it was Frank Frag, unless I'm thinking of...
I don't think it was.
Something was.
I know Jaws in Space, last map, the one that was all black wall, that was pretty...
Who was it who did... He did three maps in the project. He had all the pressure pedestals in it. And there's, like, a map 4, I think. And then he also did the arena number.
No, I don't... That guy never did any good maps, because he did the arena, he did that...
Well, no, but his last submission was one that was very similar in this style. And the wave design to...
Fractal XX.
And membranes. Fractal XX, okay, my apologies, yeah. Replace all the utterances with Frank Frag with Fractal XX. Get my F's mixed up.
Anyway, the
approach to those levels were strictly in accordance with the project goal in order to highlight other areas of design where I feel that Map 1 and Map 18 and Death Eggs map were stylized map ideas that could have only worked.
Yeah, in monochrome. And then the exact opposite of that. There is an exact opposite of that we haven't touched on, and that's GG Mork's map, which was emphatically a GG Mork map, regardless of the colors used, and worked entirely because it was just wacky and goofy, and honestly, like, it's one of those things that it had nothing to do with the project, and it was just black and white because the project was monochrome.
Mm-hmm. That was just a GG Mork map, which, having played it, we discovered that apparently his maps play a lot better in monochrome, just because of the way they shape and are moved.
But at the same time, it's a map that I think it could work as anything, just because it works by being so weird and bizarre. And it's, you know, if it was all fire blue, I wouldn't bat an eye.
Fire blue's awesome. It's true. Now, it's my understanding... but I could be mistaken in saying that there was some music omitted.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Like,
I mean, was it actually intended to be no music in many of the maps, or was my sound...
No, it's been screwed up for a bunch of people. There is just flat-out no music in a lot of maps.
Okay, so that wasn't intended.
No.
All right, okay, that's fine. Well, we can't judge on that front then, which is a shame, because I did choose a chord in review that would reflect that perfectly.
Oh, no. I mean, as in, the music was just omitted. Like, the people who made the maps probably intended for stock music to be used for them, but in lieu of that, the music was just omitted.
Oh, well, we can still review the final product as it happened.
Yeah, which is...
So we can say that there was no music there.
Yeah.
Be done with that. Okay, so here come the chords for the end of Monochrome. Gameplay, I'm going to go for a C with diminished 9th and augmented 5th and a major 7th, which is pretty... Yeah. Visuals at C and B, both octaves. So that's quite dissonant, but opposite ends of the piano. Work with it, Jimmy. I know you can do it. Concept-wise, the whole keyboard. Just press the whole keyboard. Just sit on it. That's the concept. Monochrome. How execution of concept and music... Well, it's an F with a suspended fourth, which sounds kind of unresolved, thankfully. And a bonus chord, we'll just throw in a C minor arpeggio for Jimmy to work with. That's the end of Where's All the Deer Episode 4 with Tarnsman and Alphonse. It's been very concise this week. I feel we got to the point quicker. Now it's wrong with that. No reason to stretch it out of you. There's no need to. And next week we'll be taking a look at Realm of Chaos, which is by the Macintosh team. Next month, sorry. Again with Tonsman, because he never leaves.
I never leave. It's the truth. All right, and also look forward to the Event 3 of the speed mapping coming up this weekend. Program B will be this weekend, discussing project leadership, and an interview with Rock King sometime in the future, probably before Natural 20, because Alfonso can't seem to schedule that.
That's right. Well, no, I think I'm actually shooting deliberately for the Mordeth Award. In fact, I think I've actually submitted this review. It's in the... It's leading. It's leading the race.
The interview with Natural 20, the Mordeth Award. Excellent.
Correct. Absolutely. Join us next time. Dankeschön.
Ta-ta.
Take it away, Jimmy.